Good to have all our visitors with us today. You're our honored guest, and you're always welcome here. And we're glad that everybody can be out today. Let's keep those who can't be out in our prayers. Many times, preachers here and other places will say, you know, if I say something in my sermon that's not right and it's not accurate, please point it out to me. You know, and maybe it will say, you'll be my friend if you do that and stuff. You know, that's a real thing. That's a real thing. Just to illustrate that, one time I preached a sermon on the flood of Noah. And afterwards, I was kind of curious what Beth thought about it, and she gave me some feedback. And it was constructive feedback. And then she said, oh, by the way, Moses didn't build the ark. That's a real thing, you know. So if I say something that's wrong, please correct me. I want to be corrected. This morning I want to talk about a thought that a dear brother of mine preached on, or a dear friend of mine and dear brother in the Lord preached on last month that triggered some thinking. And it's this thought. Sometimes it's a challenge. Sometimes we have a commandment to do something, and then we have another commandment that seems to be almost the opposite. And how do you resolve that? An example of that is, and this is the one I want to talk about today. We're commanded to be separate from the world, right? But we're also commanded to spend time with sinners. So Matthew chapter 11, verse 19. Jesus says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and wine bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners, but wisdom is justified by our children. Jesus spent time with tax collectors and sinners. And then you turn over to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 4. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Okay, so now you have this. You have Jesus is spending time with sinners, and James is saying, you know, don't be a friend with the world. How do you do that? You know, sometimes we might go to the doctor, and the doctor says, you need to exercise more. You need to exercise more. And then he also says, well, you need to get more sleep. See, now those on the surface are not compatible, are they? You know, you either get rest or you get exercise. But then when we think about it, we need both, don't we? We need both. And I think that's what Jesus is going to teach us as we look at his, let's look at his example. Jesus, a friend of sinners. The first thing that we want to talk about is a fact that we need to always remember. Jesus was not a sinner. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. We're going to remember the Lord's Supper in a little while. If Jesus sinned, that wouldn't have happened. The sacrifice for our sins wouldn't have happened if Jesus sinned. John chapter 8, verse 29. In Aaron's class this morning, we were talking about following the example of Jesus and how that's a high standard. This verse really illustrates it to me. John 8, 29. And he who sent me is with me, and the Father has not left me alone. Notice what he says. For I always do those things that please him. Jesus is the only one that could ever say that. He always did those things that please the Lord. Always. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. For he made him who knew no sin, no sin. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 21. Who committed no sin, let's start at verse 21. For to those who were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Jesus was not a sinner. So when we think about our interactions with the world, we need to remember Jesus wasn't a sinner. When Jesus spent time with tax collectors and sinners, did that relationship signify his approval of the sin? No. He wasn't approving of it. His purpose in life was to be sinless. That was the will of God. So we know that he wasn't giving approval to sin. He experienced more temptations than we can imagine, yet without sin. And when we think about this being in the world but not of the world, you know, this concept, we need to always remember our relationship with our friends who are sinners is very, very important. But it should never lead into our sinning or accepting of sin of others. Jesus wasn't a sinner. But Jesus did spend a lot of time with sinners. Let's look over to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Start in verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus was considered a sinner. He was a tax collector. But do you see what happens here? Jesus invites himself into the house of a sinner. You see that? He invites himself into a house of a sinner. He invites himself into the house of a tax collector, into the house of someone that society, the Jewish society at that time, had basically condemned. Do you see that? Jesus spent time with sinners. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And this is the context is where in the Corinthians church there was a fellow who had his father's wife, and that was a problem, and Paul talks about how they needed to deal with that situation because that leaven could spread. And then to clarify things, I think, he writes some things starting in verse 9. I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. And that's dealing with this incident that they have. Notice verse 10. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. You see, Paul is telling us that we need to spend time with sinners. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. This verse is a great verse to give us, you know, purpose of what we're trying to reflect the light of Jesus. But it also implies that we are with people. We are with people of the world. We are if not, they won't see that. They won't see the glory of God. So Jesus was with, and he spent a lot of time with sinners. Sometimes when we think about our Christianity, we need to ask a question. Should my being a Christian keep me away from sinners? Is that really what Jesus wants us to do? Over and over again, the Pharisees complained about Jesus spending time with sinners. But the fact is, God doesn't want us to leave the world. He wants us to influence the world. He wants us to influence the world for good. And we saw where Jesus invited himself into the house of sinners. You know, just for some examples, it's important for Christians to assemble together. It's important for us to get together socially. It's important for us to go and encourage others and be encouraged by gospel meetings. But you know what Jesus shows us is just as important to spend time with sinners. That's what he shows us. And sometimes this life, there's times when we can unintentionally segregate ourselves from sinners. I've got some examples here, and I want to preface this. I don't see this as a problem with anyone in this congregation. I see this as kind of a warning for myself and for others if we're not careful. You know, a phenomenon now is where lots of folks can work at home. You can work at home. I know some people that work at home all the time. What's the negative of that? You don't get to know your coworkers. You don't get to interact with them. You don't get to have an influence on them. You don't get to like shine the light of Jesus with them. See? We need to be careful that we don't let work segregate us from sinners. I have a good friend of mine, and some of you, actually many of you have met him, and I've known him for 36 years. Me and him used to have lunch every week, every single week, for years. Now he's just become a workaholic. He didn't have time for lunch. He doesn't have time for friends. Work can be a problem when we want to interact with others. And we need to be careful of it. Maybe we have a hobby. I know some guys that have hobbies, not here, that take them away from friendships. You know, maybe we like working on our yard. And we're so focused on working on our yard that we don't take time to talk to our neighbors. See, anything, you can come up with a list of all sorts of things that could keep us away from interacting with others. And wholesome things, you know. Maybe activities with school. Maybe even homeschooling. All sorts of benefits of that. We need to make sure we're still interacting with our local community. Interacting with the sinners. Quote unquote. Sometimes we may just want to keep to ourselves. Have you ever known somebody that just keeps to themselves? They don't hardly go out for anything. No, we need to be seeking those who are lost. Jesus spent time with sinners. And he put that time spending with sinners on an equal plane with spending time with the saved. And that's a powerful lesson for me. He had a purpose too. Let's look over to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. We'll start a couple readings here. This first reading starts in verse 27. After these things, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me." So he left all, rose up, and followed him. Then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house. And there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with him. And their scribes and Pharisees complained against the disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered and said to them, Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Jesus is spending time not only with Levi, but he's spending time with other tax collectors and other people who were thought to be sinners. Why? Because he wanted to influence them towards repentance. Notice chapter 7, starting in verse 24. "When the messengers of John had departed, he began to speak to the multitudes concerning John. 'What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who are gorgeously appareled and live in luxury are in king's courts. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' For I say to you, among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." And when all the people heard him, even the tax collectors justified God, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. And the Lord said, "To what then shall I liken the men of this generation, and what are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, saying, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We mourned to you, and you did not weep.' For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, 'Look, a glutton and a winebibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is justified by her children." In some translations, it says, "by her works" or "her deeds" in verse 35. And what's going on here is Jesus is confronting this idea. John the Baptist, the greatest prophet of all, didn't come with a lot of pomp and circumstance. He's a common man. You are looking for something else. And then you're looking for something else. You've missed the fact that these tax collectors and sinners are coming to the Lord, and you aren't. You see, he spent time with these people, and he's showing them the true wisdom. Who are the wiser? The tax collectors and sinners who obeyed the Lord, or the Pharisees and lawyers who looked down upon them and rejected the will of the Lord? You see, Jesus had a purpose. He spent time with sinners because he wanted them to be saved. And that should be the same for us. Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 1. All it takes is one little animal to get everybody's attention. That's pretty cool. I'm like that too. Luke 15, starting in verse 1. "Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" And some, if you see a footnote in the New King James, it says, "This man welcomes sinners." You see that? "So he spoke this parable to them, saying, 'What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." Jesus is teaching them over and over again the importance of all people. All people. And here's the focus is on sinners. It's kind of ironic, isn't it? Verse 2, it says, "The Pharisees and scribes complained." The ironic part is they're in sin too. And they need to come to Jesus. But they're looking down on those who have been maybe cast out by society or looked down on by society. And they're missing the point. Later on, some of them get the point. Some of them come to the Lord, which is a good thing. Jesus was a friend of sinners because he wanted them to be saved. We today, as Christians, we should want to be friends of sinners because we want them to be saved. This didn't mean necessarily that Jesus shared their interests. It doesn't necessarily mean that Jesus shared their desires. This just meant that he took advantage of opportunities to encourage these people. He interacted with them because he wanted to have an influence on them so they'd come to repentance. Spending time with each other is really important. I don't want you to get the idea that that's not important. Spending time with other Christians is really important. But we need to be careful that we don't let that time be monopolized by being just with Christians. We're missing the whole point. Because there's a lot of friends and neighbors that need to be saved. And that's what Jesus shows us. He spent a lot of time with sinners. He didn't condone them. He didn't sin because of it. But he did spend a lot of time with them because he wanted them to be saved. A few weeks back, Brian Chapman preached a lesson. And he made a powerful point to me. He made the point that everybody's failed. And that when people fail, sometimes people give up on people who failed. And he gave an example of somebody who didn't give up on him. And I thought that was really great that he shared that. And then he pointed out that God never gives up. And we should never give up when we fail. Because we are going to fall short. And we are going to fail sometimes. But we shouldn't give up because of that. As I look at the passages that we just read, it becomes very clear to me that Jesus was a friend of failures. Jesus was a friend of people who others had given up on. Jesus was a friend of people that were not given the benefit of the doubt. Jesus was a friend of sinners. A question for me and for you. Are you a friend of sinners? Are you a friend of sinners? As I prepared this lesson, I took notes from my friend, and you know, you study about this and stuff. I realized why did I want to preach this lesson? You ever get an idea for a lesson and you think it out, and those of us who preach and teach, you think it out and stuff, and you're not sure exactly why is it that I'm gravitating to this. The reason I gravitated to this is because I realized I need to be, and I want to be a better friend of sinners. And maybe you do too. Because we have a lot of friends, and we love them, and we care about them, and we want them to be saved. And then when we have that attitude, we're going to be just like Jesus. Because that was his attitude. For those of you who aren't Christians this morning, if you want to really be a good friend to those around you, you need to first become a friend of Jesus. If you haven't become a Christian, if you haven't become a disciple of Jesus Christ, we encourage you to believe in him. We encourage you to be willing to confess that he is the Son of God. We encourage you to repent, turn away from your sins. We encourage you to be baptized to wash away those sins. And then you can walk with him. You can walk with the Father. You can walk with the Holy Spirit. And then you can have an influence on those around you that you couldn't have before. Because when you got Jesus by your side, He's going to help you each step of the way. And He's going to help you be that example. He's going to help you be that light that can help others. Jesus, a friend of sinners. I think we all want to be more like Him. If we can help you now, please come forward while we stand and sing.